his aim at this essay was to address the topic, are we even progressing as a culture at all, or as humanity at all? Are we moving forward?
I'm William O'Flaherty from All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast, available through EssentialCSLewis.com. This essay chat is on Willing Slaves of the Welfare State. With me is Dr. Crystal Hurd, and she is an educator and researcher from Virginia who is currently doing research on the role of artists as leaders. Welcome to All About Jack, the essay chat, Crystal.
Thank you, Will. Thank you for having me.
Well, before Crystal addresses some of her thoughts or shares about the essay, Willing Slaves of the Welfare State, some context needs to be made for what Lewis wrote. First, it was part of a series of articles that were essentially a response to the question, is progress possible? C.P. Snow kicked off the series, and Jack gave his view in the July 20th, 1958 issue of The Observer. While Lewis makes reference to some of Snow's ideas, it was not meant to be a direct response to him at all. Then finally, this essay is most widely found in a collection called God in the Dock. Well, Crystal, the best first question to address, I think, is to deal further with the why of what Lewis was writing on. That is, he was actually given two questions to tackle. Tell us about that.
Sure. There were five well-known authors who were selected to respond to these two questions, which are, is man progressing today? And is progress even possible? And both of these questions are set in light to some 20th century events, World War I, World War II, and the discovery of the hydrogen bomb. And here Lewis was asked to address both of these questions in light of the 1950s and the culture, the milieu of England. And the use of the term progress is an interesting term because in the Victorian age, which Lewis being a self-proclaimed lover of the past would be aware of the semantics of the Victorian age. The term progress was actually used to sort of describe the advancement of man, the intellectual achievements of man. But it was also later used sort of as an excuse to be morally adrift in what would eventually later be Darwin's Origin of Species, and science would usurp religious and spiritual topics of that age. So Lewis would have been aware of the use of the term progress. He actually goes and explains his definition of progress, which is basically about the increasing goodness and happiness in individual lives of the people. So his aim at this essay was to address the topic, are we even progressing as a culture at all, or as humanity at all? Are we moving forward?
Lewis gives 3 points in this essay, but I guess it's because he's known for not being too good with math that he actually says as he's starting off that he has 2 points to make. But either way, Jack's first point is short and has to do with science. Crystal, what does he say, and why do we know that Lewis wasn't against science or anti-science?
Well, his first point dealt with the advance and increased application of science. And anyone who's studied Lewis for any amount of time knows that he's a master of integration. He's very good at combining the pragmatic and the emotional and pushing them together over and over again. He integrates both of them. So, again, he's not an enemy of science at all. But he, being, again, a lover of the past, would know that, according to history, any time that there's an intellectual triumph, there's eventually some sort of deification of science or the intellect. And so people start believing that God is just not as important, and maybe we can just handle all this on our own. So Lewis was quite aware of that. And he says in the essay that science can either make us more beneficent or more mischievous, which is an interesting reflection. But again, he's not anti-science. A lot of people have argued that and would still argue that. But if you look in works such as That Hideous Strength, he shows that science, when it becomes a religion, is dangerous. So science is good, but the deification of science is our ruin. So that is the difference there.
Now, Jack's second point is actually the longest one. I believe most people will understand it even more when they actually read the essay, as we were talking in terms of when we were preparing to speak about this, or noting that we don't hope to cover everything that he says in this essay. We want to encourage people to read it themselves. Even if maybe you've read it before, maybe this essay chat will encourage you to go back, because as I know I was experiencing with this and other essays preparing for an essay chat, I just, you know, it was almost like I'd never read it before because I studied it more to prepare for it, because Lewis is so rich in what he writes about. But in terms of an actual question for you, Crystal, what key concerns does Lewis give about a change in the relationship between government and those that they are supposed to serve?
He has some interesting concepts of the relationship between man. He does mention that it has changed in recent times, and even mentions in the essay that two wars necessitated vast curtailments of liberty, and we have grown, though grumblingly, accustomed to our chains. So over the course of two world wars, we have determined that the government should step up and protect us. But that protection comes at a price. It comes at the price of some of our freedoms. So what Lewis is saying here is that over time we become dependent on that government. And we become, it's paternalistic government. You know, basically lending you a hand at the cost of some of your freedoms, at the expense of some of your freedoms. Now, Lewis here actually mentions that he's sort of a proponent of small government. You know, it's just sort of let me live my life and stay out of my way. But as he mentions, our whole lives are the business of the government. So there's not a whole lot you can say in terms of dismissing it, because it is part of our lives. It runs our lives. It educates our children. In England, it runs our health care. It crafts the policies that affect economic and social, you know, issues. So there is no way to escape a government. But what Lewis was concerned with is that we are becoming increasingly dependent on that government, and in turn relinquishing a lot of power to that government, which it could very easily abuse.
Now, the final point made by Lewis builds on the end of that second one that you were just talking in. In some ways, it has to do with the government's marriage to science. Now, Jack doesn't quite use that phrase, but I think that would be probably fair to say. But what were the key ideas that you got from this final section?
Well, according to Lewis, combining science and power is a dangerous mixture. And he's referring here, you know, very, very temporarily in the past, the Nazi Party and their use of science and power mixed together. And we all know how that turned out. And Lewis is incredibly sensitive to those things. Even in 1933, he's mentioning the Hitler and the Nazi Party and the devastation that he almost knows is coming. So in that time, Germany was one of the top countries in the world for science. And then, you have Hitler, who is using that science to bolster his power and to bolster, you know, the country of Germany. So Lewis is thinking very recently when he's reflecting on these things, because science is okay and power is okay as long as neither are abused. And he fears that humans can very easily abuse either and both simultaneously by abusing the things that you have. So, you know, basically in the section, he ends up saying, you know, obedience to God supersedes obedience to man. When it all comes down to the end result, governments are fine. A welfare state does help in terms of feeding people and trying to assist people, but at what cost ultimately to the people?
Well, Crystal, thank you for answering my questions in terms of helping individuals to get a taste of what Lewis talks about in this essay, Willing Slaves of the Welfare State, which was done as not a response to someone, but there were five people who were asked to deal with the essential topic of, is progress possible? So depending on where you get it, this essay, which is most commonly found in God and the Dock, sometimes it lists at the top, is progress possible, and then there's a colon, and then the willing slaves of the welfare state. But now, in terms of wrapping up, one of the things we like to do here is to share some quotes. I'll go first here. I kind of picked a couple different short things that you have to kind of appreciate it more in the larger context. But Crystal already mentioned this actually in addressing one of the earlier points, I think probably question number one, and that is Lewis's definition of progress. He says, progress means increasing goodness and happiness of individual lives. And I thought that was good. And then since the other individual that first addressed the question and the time frame in which this was written in the late 1950s regarding what's going to happen with the use of the H-bomb, Lewis notes, and this is the quote, very short, bomb or no bomb, all men die. So just the reality that, hey, we're all going to die. We don't want to die prematurely, but Lewis also is addressing, you know, what in terms of quality of life will we have when we do live. And then let's see, actually I probably have two more since those were short here, but he says in another place, what assurance have we that our monsters will or can keep the promise which induce us to sell ourselves? So when we kind of say, okay, government, do all this for us, we kind of sell ourselves, but will the government be able to really deliver what they promise? And then I think you shared part of this. He mentions, we can become either more beneficent or more mischievous. And then he says, my guess is we shall do both. I thought that was good. What are the quotes that were especially enjoyable for you?
Well, I had a couple, and as someone who's done a lot of research and wrote a dissertation on Lewis's leader and Lewis's perspectives of power and government, there are a couple here. In one, he notes, if we are to be mothered, mother knows best. This means they must increasingly rely on the advice of scientists till, in the end, the politicians proper become merely the scientists' puppets. Technocracy is the form to which a planned society must tend. A very interesting perspective on, again, the marriage of science and power and how that can so easily be corrupted. It's a very thin line to walk. Another one that is one of my favorites from this essay is discussing the welfare state. He says, is there any possibility of getting the super welfare state's honey and avoiding the sting? It's one of my favorites there. And, you know, it's very relevant to today's terms when we're discussing a lot of the economic policies and the programs. A lot of the programs, you know, of course, are being underfunded and shut down. And so there's a lot of relevance, even though, you know, we're speaking, you know, 50, 60 years later. There's a lot of relevance still in Lewis's words.
Exactly. And also considering that he was not speaking specifically about the United States. He is from England, so he's addressing it from where he lives and the political atmosphere there.
Exactly. And, you know, when he ends it, you know, he says, have we discovered some new reason why this time power should not corrupt as it has done before? And again, Lewis's love of the past, still using that backward glance to remind people that, you know, these problems are perennial. They're not going away. People aren't technically progressing. You know, we're sort of repeating the mistakes of our forefathers. So very important when he's discussing the government as savior. He says, you know, in one of the letters, he even says, you know, God is the only thing that can save us. No government, no policy, no reform effort is going to really save us.
Okay, now then, the final thing to do is any related essays or even aspects that you might talk about in other books. I know that since I've already done an essay chat on meditation on the third commandment, here Lewis addresses political issues, and then in a different angle and showing that he's not against science but the abuse of science, his fictional work, That Hideous Strength, addresses some of the topics, and then his book, Abolition of Man. You have some other things that you want to cross-reference?
Sure. I think one of the best sources that I found was his collected letters. I really believe that in reading Lewis's letters, I've received as complete a picture as I can of a man and his thoughts and his spirituality. So there's a lot of great stuff in the letters. Also, if you're interested in his perspectives on government, you know, I mentioned that he doesn't talk a whole lot about government. He's very cautious, which is a wise thing to outright criticize anything with the government. But if you're interested, there are a couple of things. Dangers of National Repentance sort of talks a little bit about, you know, post-war England. But also you can find it in the Screwtape Letters. There's a lot of interesting commentary on power and the abuse of power in the Screwtape Letters as well.
Okay, yes, very good cross-references there. Again, we've been talking about the essay, Willing Slaves of the Welfare State, where Lewis addresses the issue of is progress possible, one of five people who actually addressed it, and he did this in a publication called The Observer, July 20th, 1958, and this essay is best found in the collection of essays called God in the Dock. Well, Crystal, thanks for joining me for this essay chat.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks also to you, the listener, for being interested in my All About Jack podcast, which is a feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, the creator of the show, as well as the host. Don't forget to check the show notes for links mentioned in the program, as well as finding other information about C.S. Lewis. You can locate the show notes either at EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. The Podbean location is where the audio files are hosted, and it can be a little easier to find the shows there. Again, that's AllAboutJack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. The other location, EssentialCSLewis.com, provides links back to the podcast location and also includes a variety of articles related to Lewis. That includes series exploring quotations attributed to Lewis that may not be from him. I hope you enjoyed today's show enough to want to share it. Also, feel free to leave comments about the program online and consider listening to other shows. If you follow the show either on Podbean or iTunes, you may have noticed that lately I've been reposting older shows typically during the week between the official postings I do each Monday. If you don't know how to find the show on iTunes, then be sure to check the show notes for a direct link. Again, those notes can be found either at EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. This episode of All About Jack is sponsored by Shelley & Son Books. You can find Shelley & Son Books online at ShelleyandSonBooks.com. Shelley is spelled S-H-E-L-L-E-Y. They specialize in rare books by Lewis, Tolkien, and the Inklings and friends. You can order by their website, phone, or email, and you can browse and search their catalog online. Again, find them online at ShelleyandSonBooks.com. Finally, don't forget about my book. It's called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell, a companion and study guide to the Screwtape Letters. You can learn more about it by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. There you can get a free 20-page sample of the book. Again, that's ScrewtapeCompanion.com.